Yeah.
Like negative one.
Yeah, everywhere is like wind. Frozen the right wind now. Is what gets me.
Yes.
Yeah, the wind. The wind. Donnie walked back with me from the train, and I was like, the snow where it's snow and it's like packed snow, it's okay. But like where the snow has melted on like the crosswalks, it's so slippery. And I was like, I'm gonna just take the entire time that this crosswalk light is on to get across because I don't wanna slip. I felt myself slip one time and I was like, oh, I gotta go slower. Make it even slower. So slow.
Remember that first year you were there and it didn't snow at all?
I know, that was so disappointing, but it's definitely making up for that now. Now it's been snowing like every other week, which I'm fine with because I have a big jacket and I have a scarf. And
you're prepared.
I am prepared. I am very prepared. And I have snow boot-ish things.
So no. Snow boot-ish things.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're boots that are good for the snow. They're not like snow boots, but they're good for the snow. Didn't it ice over there like last week or something?
It got a little icy on Tuesday. Like if it was already wet on the ground, it iced over, but it snowed a little bit when I woke up, but nothing was sticking. And of course, that was the morning I had my hair appointment.
Oh.
Yeah, going to work in the morning was something. But I actually like cold weather, so I'm not, like, I don't hate it too much. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with it.
I mean, it's not bad as long as you're prepared. And like,
yeah, exactly.
If your car warms up quickly, then you should be fine.
That's true. Thankfully, I have a newer car, and I remember those days when I didn't, and it was rough. Like me. So very thankful that I don't have that. But yeah, no, I actually like the cold weather.
I also love the cold, but I hate having to turn up the heater in my house. Because I feel like the heater, and in the car as well, I feel like the heat just like sits on top of me and it's just like oppressive and I hate it. I'd rather it be a little chilly and I'm wearing a sweater and sweatpants and I have a big blanket on me than the heater be on. Because I just feel like I can't breathe.
Do you use a humidifier at night, Anna?
I do not.
Mm. I feel like that helps me anyway. Especially when it's dry. And because the room that I'm in tends to get the warmest. So I'm like always wearing shorts in here. or like t-shirts. But it gets dry and I can feel it in my skin. So I feel like a humidifier helps with that for sure.
No, I've got a pretty good handle on my dry skin. The winter doesn't affect it too bad anymore.
That's good.
Unless I don't wash it and take care of it, like I did last week while I was taking care of the kids.
Or sometimes I used to wake up with a sore throat. Also because of the dry air, I guess. But thing is I forget to put it on sometimes. So I'm like waking up like, oh no.
Yeah. That was me the night before last because I was like, even though it's cold outside, like the heat works pretty well in the apartment. At least in my room it does. So I would just leave the window cracked a little bit. But the night before last, it got really cold and I didn't close it all the way. And I was like, in the morning, I was like, I made a mistake. That was not good. But now I'm fine. Yeah, and then last night it was freezing. So I like turned up the radiator and I slept under two blankets and wearing a sweater and with locks next to me being a little heater. And it was so cozy. I didn't want to leave.
Yeah, I think taking a shower and like being kind of cold out of the shower is like the only time I'm like, oh, it's too cold in here. But then I warm up and I'm fine.
Yeah.
I got the cutest picture of Rocket sleeping this morning and like using the pillow like a human.
Oh.
Killed me.
Send it to me.
How cute he is.
Send it to me. Send it to me. I'll send you a picture of Locke. He's so cute because like he can make himself like a little circle. He'll just make himself like a little ball and just lay next to me and it's so cute. Oh my God.
There's the picture of my dude. Just using the pillow like a human.
sorry.
Hmm. Oh my God, look how precious. He's so fluffy.
Oh, his little paw so out.
Cute. Yeah, like this. Oh my God, this is the best. I love when they do that. That's so cute. So stinking cute. You know what else is cute? Our podcast. Hi, friends. Welcome back. It's another episode of our Conversations with Oscar series of the 97th Academy Awards. And we're going to give you our insightful and unfiltered thoughts. I'm your host, Joy.
I'm Anna.
And I'm Crystal.
And today we're talking about a complete unknown. In New York, 1961, an unknown 19-year-old named Bob Dylan arrives with his revolutionary talent. He forges relationships with music icons of Greenwich Village on his meteoric rise, culminating in a performance that reverberates worldwide. This was had a total of 8 nominations, including Best Picture, Lead Actor for Timothée Chalamet, Supporting Actor Edward Norton, Supporting Actress Monica Barbaro, Directing James Mangold, Adapted Screenplay James Mangold and Jay Cox, Costume Design Arian Phillips, Best Sound Todd A. Maitland, Donald Sylvester, Ted Kaplan, Paul Massey, and David Gianmarco. With a total of 8 nominations, this is a complete unknown. We think
I was very whelmed by this film, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. I thought it was an okay film. I love Bob Dylan, been a big fan for a while. Like when I got to college and I started listening to more Joni than just Blue, I kind of dipped my toes into the Dylan as well, and I really liked Bob Dylan. And then that movie we saw, Crystal,
Inside Llewyn Davis,
yeah, had that like feel, and that was a moment for me where like folk music was, and it still is. I still love my folk music. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I like Bob Dylan a lot.
I agree. It was a very good mid movie to me. I think that Timothy is excellent, actually. He's probably the only thing I really truly liked about it. I was kind of taken aback at the accent at first because I wasn't sure what to expect. because Timmy is just Timmy. Like, we love him on this podcast. Like, he is Timmy, and he's so weird in real life, and I love that about him. And so sometimes he can take me out of the movie, but towards the end, completely, to me, I was in it with him. I was seeing him as Bob Dylan. I saw him, and it was, he's so talented. Like, Jesus Christ. Like, when he hosted SNL, he performed Bob Dylan covers. Oh, and yeah. And, like, it was amazing. Like, wow, so good. But the movie itself, I just think, was too long, first of all. They could have shaved off, like, 20, 30 minutes. And it doesn't get into the meat of him and how, like, your description that you said that his performance, like, it reverberates worldwide. You don't really feel that. I only really know that he had an impact on music because I'm a music fan. I'm not the hugest Bob Dylan fan. I appreciate what he does for the genre, what he did. I'll catch some songs here or there, but he's not, like, my favorite. But at the same time, like, I know who he is and what he did for music, and so to not really touch on that, to me, got really interesting when they were booing him at the festival, and I was like, oh, it's over. Okay, I just think that's a problem. And then the women characters are so underwritten. Like, these women were very monumental to his career. Mm-hmm. And they're just girlfriends. Like, you get hints of, like, how Elle Fanning's character was, like, an activist, and, you know, that relay him to be, like, political, which they don't even get to. Like, he was political in the 60s. That's a big deal. There were so many things going on in the 60s, and for you to have a character who was... I mean, I think that's that, like, little shot of him, like, speaking at a rally for Martin Luther King, I think it was. It's just, like, a flash in the pan. Like, nothing really important. I kept thinking, like, where is the story going? Like, what is the point of this?
Yeah.
And if the point was to have it culminate at the festival, that wasn't a good... that they didn't do a good job there. Because, like... and then they don't go into it. Sorry. They don't go... I feel like I'm talking so much. They don't go why he decided to go electric. Like, why?
No.
What change? What made you think that this would be different? Or, like... It just wasn't set up correctly, and that's very annoying to me. But Timmy, great. Timmy Innocent. Love him. He was so good.
Timmy's innocent. Yeah, so, like, as the person here who knows the least about Bob Dylan, I didn't recognize any of the songs. I'm maybe one of them, kind of. But no, I would be lying if I said that, because I really didn't. I didn't know any of them, and I don't know who Bob Dylan is. And
next I feel time like after, I see you, I'll take you to church.
Okay, cool. I love that.
I think you would like it because you like folk joy. So
I love all folk of that, music.
It would be, you would love it.
I love the Civil Wars. I love Brandi Carlile. I love all that stupid shit. It's so good. But I had no idea, other than he was a big influential musician. And I think one of the criticisms I read about this was that, like, it's a very sanitized version of, like, his life and that time period. Because I don't know the full extent of, like, I mean, I read some stuff that he was involved in, like, civil rights and things like that and counterculture. But I didn't see that in the movie. And it feels to me like whenever just very, like, general or generic writers slash directors do biopics, they're just like, let's just do... you know, if it's a musician, let's just show some of their best songs. If it's an actor, let's show them doing some of their best work. Like, it's nothing like really, really interesting. It's not really saying anything. I don't think it really has a point of view. It just seems very, very basic to me. And I was like, again, as I try to go into these movies, I'm like, I want to see it for the film value, for the film as a film. And I just really, even it, I mean, Timothy's great, but even this, I was just like, I don't know if the whole movie's just dragging you down, but, like, you even, I know you're good, and I know technically this is good, but it's just really, like, frankly boring, and it was not entertaining, and surprisingly, I didn't fall asleep, but I feel like I should have, and I wouldn't have missed anything. I feel like Joan Baez's character, I was like, I want more of her. Let me know her. Elle Fanning, what's her name? Susie? Shelley? Something with an S.
I can't remember.
Sylvia. Thank you, Sylvie. I was like, you're telling us all these cool, interesting things about the women around you. Yet we don't get to see it, really. So, like, can we... this movie made them more interesting than him, considering they didn't really give them a lot to do anyways. So I felt like the script is basic as shit. This is every biopic we've seen. This is Bohemian Rhapsody all over again. Maybe not as shitty, because you really can't. You really can't compare. It's not shit, but it's not great. It's very basic. It's very biopic by numbers. I was like, I feel like if I heard these songs out of the movie context, I was like, I feel like some of these are bops. I would like these, especially like the ones he went electric at the end. I was like, oh yeah, this is great. But, and like his duets with Joan Baez. Oh my God. Beautiful, 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 beautiful. But I was just like, how did you take someone with that? That is like, I'm assuming very interesting and just make them blah. Like,
yeah,
he's just another tortured artist asshole. Like, you just made him. I don't know anything about him.
I feel like the film never really sunk its teeth in. We got a lot of, you know, surface layer. What I do appreciate about the biopic is that it wasn't, here's Bob Dylan when he was born, and here's what he was like as a child, and then here he is as an old man.
Exactly.
I'm glad we didn't have all of that. I'm sick of that biopic.
Yeah.
I prefer the, we're looking at these years of his life, and this is what happened. Even though I think, while they're interesting on their own, maybe not so much written, I think they also missed out on some really interesting things that happened directly after this in his life. But yeah, it just felt like we never really got the juice of what they were trying to say.
Yeah.
And also, I feel like Timmy's jaw probably hurt while filming this. He was so tense in the mouth. I was like, I'm sure he's getting intense physical therapy for this.
His sore muscles.
With Monica Barbaro as Joan Baez, I thought she did a really great job with what she was given. Crumbs. Yeah, she was given crumbs.
Yeah.
But she did a really great job. And you can tell that she's trying to get stuff out of the script that is not enough. And I don't, it's one of those instances where I'm like almost positive that the original script still had less for her. Because like every scene you can feel just kind of like wanting to bring it out and just
mean
she's doing the best she can. And I was like, you know what, girl, go off. Like her first scene or her first like performance in the club and she like goes a cappella. I was like,
Stunning.
Yes, ma'am. But then it never really, the writing never let her live up to that moment, I feel. Mm-hmm. And that's really disappointing because she was great.
Yeah,
she was this promised, you know, golden child when we first meet her.
Mm-hmm.
She's Joan Baez, you know, she's creating quite a name for herself and she's got these records out and she's a big deal. And then as soon as she gets involved with Bob Dylan and his stuff, it's all about him. And it's not about her work anymore. It's about what she can do with him. And she even released an entire album of Bob Dylan covers. Granted, dude's a great writer.
Mm-hmm.
I understand why you would want to, but it just felt like so much of her was in service of him when she was, you know, brought out onto the scene as her own person and her own thing. And very quickly, even like her manager or whatever, her publicist was like, yeah, you're cool, but I'm going to go work with that guy over there, is what I felt like.
Yeah. And like,
but also, yeah, their chemistry together was.
Yeah, their chemistry was great. Their chemistry was great. Their chemistry was not lacking at all. That was great. And anytime they did a duet during the movie, I was like, wow, mesmerized. I was like, this is the best part of this movie. Like the rest of the movie was like, fine, whatever. And then that part just like sizzled. It was great. And I was like, why couldn't you invest in this more? Why couldn't we see more of this? Like, why is this writing so shallow? Like, I feel like I've seen the story 100 times. Tortured artist. He's kind of a bitch, but he's so talented, so we'll let him get away with it. He cheats on his first girlfriend. La la la. Like,
I can see the like ghosts of what they were trying to do. Of like, he got sick of being the song and dance man. Of like, hey, play that one song we like. And he was like, I'm more than this. More than this folk. Like, he was growing.
Mm-hmm.
He was maturing. And everyone was like, no, you've got to stay the same. But that wasn't, it wasn't coming out enough for it to be part of the story. It just felt like I could see what they were trying to do, but they weren't successful at it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like you said, like, I don't feel like I know who Bob Dylan is. And I know that he's mysterious to the people around him, but he can't be mysterious to us, the audience.
Yeah.
Like, we have to care about him. We have to, like, there wasn't enough work done character-wise for us to care.
Yeah, if they wanted him to be a mystery, it should have been from someone else's perspective.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. There it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Honestly, I would have loved to have, like, a Joan Baez biopic than, like, do you know what I mean?
Yes, ma'am. Because,
like, she's so interesting, and the crumbs that we got were really good from her. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that would just been a better movie. Maybe not written by these people, but If they ever want to make a Joan Baez movie, I'll watch it.
Yeah, same. And they can cast Monica Barbaro again because she's great.
Yeah.
Amen.
It was really interesting, all those moments where she was like, she's in the corner, she's like doing this face acting, she's like reacting to this, and like, I feel like we didn't even, I mean, I feel like they could have given us an internal monologue, but like she was saying that with her face, or at least like trying to. But like this Edward Norton nomination.
Yeah.
Why? Again, basic, boring, done.
And he's not bad. It's just
no, he's not bad, but it's just very basic. It's just very big. This is not one of the standout supporting actors of the year.
No.
It's not top five. It's not even top 10. Like there's other people that could easily replace him and would be so much better because they were given something to do. They had an interesting story. They were acting. And sure, he was, you know, acting, but like, it just wasn't, it's just not comparable. This is like, to me, this is a movie that would do well in a weak year. And considering all these other movies that we've seen that we've loved or that we've at least, you know, technically appreciated, this one feels so out of whack, like so not even.
Yeah.
I can't compare this to Dune. I can't compare this to Wicked. I can't compare it to The Substance. I can't compare it to the Brutalist. I can't. It's just not even. It's not even close. Not technically. Not performance-y. Not. It's just not it. It's just not. I'm so upset that this is the one movie this week I had to pay for.
Oh. I saw in the theater.
Well, I have my like AMC thing. So I had
the theater was empty.
I got like three free movies, and this was like my fourth movie. So I had to pay for this one. I'm like, I saw all these other much better movies for free, and I paid for this one. But
I will say that the cabin that Edward Norton and his wife were in looked so cozy.
Oh my God, yeah, let's go there. Like, can we go there?
In this cabin, it looks also like I want to know about this interracial family or this interracial couple. Like,
yeah,
I don't know about them too. Again, yeah. There's so much interesting things around Bob Dylan, and they don't go into any of it.
On the Edward Norton note, I think he did a fine job. I think his Pete Seeger was kind and inviting and warm.
Yeah,
I enjoyed him. But like you said, Joy, it just doesn't compare to what the rest of the season has given us.
Yeah.
I thought this was a fine performance from him. I enjoyed it tremendously. Is it best picture? Is it best supporting actor worthy? I don't think so. Also, what pisses me off more is that this got sound and costume design. Design, it should have been Dune 2. Sound, it should have been The Substance. The fact that this... I don't think this would be the first one I'd take away from those categories, but the fact that it's also there and not those, like, pisses me off. Pisses me off.
Yeah, same.
Agreed.
It's 100%. Actually rude.
Yeah. Because the level of mid that this is, the level of just whelmed.
I'm so happy y'all feel this way because I was so nervous y'all were going to like, for some reason, I was like.
I was like, oh my God, it's the best thing ever.
I mean, I like when we disagree because our conversations tend to be more interesting, but I was like, I don't want to sit here and have to defend my case about this movie because I just.
No. I enjoyed this movie. I did. I enjoyed listening to the music. I enjoyed, like, the performances were fine. I would have had a good time at the movies if I didn't have to then come and talk about it here on the podcast.
Yeah,
because
it
shouldn't really be here. Yeah. And I know Timmy is hardcore gunning for that lead actor win for this. And I love him. And I think he's probably one of the most talented actors of his generation. And I think it's going to be a long time before we see someone like him again.
Mm-hmm.
I love his career so far. I love where he's going. I'm so excited to watch him for the rest of my life. This one isn't it.
No. And if he wins this, I will be so upset.
I don't think he will. I don't know what the odds are, but he's not.
I mean, he's really trying. And like, I look at that category and he's not even in my thoughts for consideration. And not that he was bad, but like everything around him was so like basic. Right. That I think that just like it dragged his performance down. And I honestly, I don't even think his performance was that great. Just because, like, I'm just...
I don't know. I feel like he was really good. I'm glad he got a nomination. It's crazy how many nominations he has under his belt already. Mm-hmm. But if he wasn't nominated, I'd be like, that's okay, too.
Yeah, I'd be fine if he wasn't nominated.
He's so talented. I'm such a fan of him in general that, like, right. I'm okay with him here.
Yeah, I'm just, like, disappointed. I'm like...
Yeah. He's so weird. He's so weird. I love it. He's so weird.
You know what I did love about this movie and something that I want brought back in, like, with such force and gusto? I want more harmonica. I love a good harmonica.
Oh, my God. Harmonica is so funny to me because when people start blowing harmonica, no matter what it is, they, like, lose their shit. They're like, ooh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
God.
He's just blowing, like, in and out. Like, it's really not that hard. But whatever. People
actually,
they love it.
Actually, it's a little more technical than you think.
I've played it before, so I know. But, like, it's...
You have? Not, it's,
yeah.
Shut up. How? Where?
How? Yes. With my mouth?
Oh, my God.
When was it I in band? I used to work at a coffee shop called... maybe I won't say the name. But I used to work at a coffee shop, and a lot of, like, musicians work there. And so I was hanging out with a lot of different music people at the time. Like, one of these... The guys that I worked with was in a band that got signed, so they moved to L.A., another girl was like in a band, and so her and I would go to different shows, and like she had different friends who were different bands, so like I was around musicians for like a good chunk of my 20s, like all the time.
Cool. Look at you, so cool.
not really, I was just there. I was just like, hey guys, cool. can I don't have any musical talents really, but can I just
liar,
but
you have talents, really. Musical talents,
you can sing.
You can sing.
Okay, well, that's true. I don't think I had the confidence to sing then with them because they were like actual musicians. Like they had gone on tour on stuff and stuff, and I was like, anyways, so it's not the hardest thing, but when it goes off, sorry, my phone is vibrating. When people play the harmonica, people lose their shit when they listen to it. And I think it's so funny because when he played it, the other person in the audience would like sat up, like they got ready.
Because it fucking rocks. I love a good harmonica. I love it so much. And I love Bob Dylan's use of it. And I just want more. Give me more harmonica. Alanis Morissette. I love her harmonica.
So we're gonna tag below like good harmonica songs.
Yeah. I'm going to take lessons. I'm gonna watch YouTube videos and I'm gonna learn how to bust. Down with the harmonica.
Do it.
And then we'll put you live on the podcast.
Yeah.
It'll be your world premiere live on the podcast. Exclusive.
Do it. Let's do it.
So Timmy was really transformative, I think. He did a good job. Who else was also transformative? Boyd Holbrook as Johnny Cash. I had no idea that was him until I looked at the
crowd.
I was like, why does that guy look familiar? He's very beautiful in the face. Who is he? Boyd Holbrook. Blew my mind. Like, I had no idea. I was so, like...
Oh, that was him.
That was, like, to my face when I read that afterwards. Because I was like, why do I... And then, because I saw the credits, like, Boyd Holbrook, where was he at? Yeah, transformative. So good. I mean, the makeup and the contacts helped a lot, to be fair. But...
Where would I know him from?
I know him from Narcos. He did... with Pedro Pascal, he was like the white guy to his Hispanic guy in that show. He was also in Logan, which was also a James Mangold movie.
Okay. Now that I see him with blonde hair. Like, oh,
yeah, that guy.
Yeah,
he looked so handsome in this movie, and I was just like,
he should dye his hair. He looked much better as a brunette.
I love much the scene. Better. Whoever did the makeup did a really good job of like not making him look too orange with his like dark hair, because he has like you know, skin for a blonde man, so like it could have been really weird, but they blended it all right. They used the right sponges, I guess.
They do did the right color correcting. That's what they used, the right tones. Also,
I thought that scene when he's like with Bob Dylan and he's like, oh, I gotta go, and he's like parking the car, and he's like, he gets out of the car and he's like, all right, bye. That to me was so funny.
Comedy gold. Comedy gold, man. That was great.
Another note on the casting. I had talked about it a little bit in Wicked about how I wanted Norbert Leobutz to be in as a cameo with Idina Menzel and Kristen Chenoweth. Mm-hmm. He was the original Fiero, and I loved him so much. And I was like, and he's in another film this season. He was in this one. He was the guy who ran the festival who was like yelling at Bob Dylan at the end. So happy that I got my Norbert Leobutz this season because
he was there.
He's so good, and I love him so much. He's such a good person and such a talented person that I love watching him succeed. And so I was very happy to see him here.
That's so cute. So cute.
My boy.
I feel like I don't have a lot of notes because...
Me neither.
I don't either.
This really
so it's going to be a real short
like,
one.
We're 30 minutes in, and I'm like, I guess we're done.
I'm done.
Well, okay. Then can I talk about Bob Dylan a little bit?
Oh, for sure. Let's go.
Okay. So what we see in the film leads into like the late 60s, right? It's like, hold on. Let me find. I have this thing open. Yeah, he goes electric.
Right?
Yeah, between 65 and 69 is his electric years. And then in 1966? I just had it, and now I scrolled down, and I lost my place. I'm so sorry. Yeah, in 1966, in July, he had a horrible motorcycle crash, like nearly died, and went underground for like 7 years. Didn't do anything. He was touring nonstop before that, from like when he takes off to then. So he like got a house in upstate New York, and like all of his band and all of his friends, they all lived there, and they just wrote music nonstop. And that's where we get his album, The Basement Tapes. And it's from all that time he spent there in the basement in his little makeshift recording studio with his friends writing for years while he was like recovering and taking a break. Take it to 2014. I know I've probably talked about it on here before. We talked about Inside Llewyn Davis a little bit at the top of this. The music producer for that movie was T-Bone Burnett. Burnett, who is a famous like Fort Worth music producer. He's just like famous.
So great.
And he's from Fort Worth.
He's just like
so great.
Because he also does like other shit. Like he's not just a music producer, I think.
Like he's just like a Fort Worth. Like a general.
Yeah. Man. But he's just like big money. Anyway, he got a bunch of artists together. Elvis Costello, Rhiannon Giddens, Taylor Goldsmith from Dawes, Jim James from My Morning Jacket, and Marcus Mumford.
Oh, wait. I remember this. I love
My Morning Jacket.
Ugh. And they all got together, and they got T-Bone Burnett had gotten the rights to all of the leftover things that were in that house. So he got all of the, like, random scrap pieces of paper with lyrics jotted on them and journals and... So he got all of this loose material and gave it to these artists. It was like, here's, you know, the start of something, finish it. And so they all sat together for like a weekend and wrote out all of this music to pre-existing Bob Dylan lyrics, and like filled in holes and wrote the music to it. Such a good documentary. Such a great album. It's one of my favorites. I listen to it all the time.
Joy, yeah, that played was it for also- you before.
You have?
That was also a real big, like, folk and Bob Dylan time for me was around this time, 2014, because I loved this album. Yeah, introduced excellent. Me to Rhiannon Giddens, introduced me to Dawes and My Morning Jacket. Johnny Depp pops in randomly to, like, play the guitar.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Or the drums. I forget what he does. Anyway, it's a great watch. It was on Showtime. I haven't been able to find it in a while. But seek it out because it's real, real good shit.
I'm going to go listen to this now.
Yeah, you've heard it because I know I've played it for you before. Yeah.
Yeah.
I probably said I liked it.
Yeah, you did.
I probably did, especially in the folk era. I got back in my folk era. Oh man, it's so good.
It's good. It's good times.
It's good stuff.
Especially Marcus Mumford's.
I love Marcus Mumford.
When I Get My Hands on You.
I love that song.
It's like the sexiest song in the world.
Wait a second. I know that song.
That's what I'm talking about. Oh my God.
That song is so good. Shut up. Let me play right now.
There was one time that you heard Joanna and I were in a car and I play this and she goes, what is this?
Yes. Yes. I literally was like, excuse
me. Because it was on shuffle and like it was at night and she was just like, what?
This feels private.
Right? I'm like, this is too intimate. I should be listening to this very intimate.
I definitely have a playlist called Vibin', and that's on there.
My God.
It's so good. That album is
good. I was gonna make a dirty joke, but I won't.
Do it.
Yeah, she's vibing.
Hey.
What kind of vibing you doing, girl?
Hey.
We support your vibes.
Hey.
George, shut up. You're so stupid. No comment, Pam.
All right, to each their own.
Bob Dylan is still out there, like, touring and doing shit.
Doing shit, yeah. Wait, he's still alive?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Shows you how much I know.
He's like 80-something, right? He's in his 80s?
Let me double check. He is 83, yeah.
Oh, dang. Where's my folk mix? There it is.
I really liked the line in that moment where he says, people ask me, you know, about how the songs come to me or why the songs come to me, and they just do. But it just fell flat as a moment, as much as a lot of things did in the
film. Yeah.
But I really liked that kind of slight insight into his thinking, like, I'm just doing this because they come to me. Like, there's, like, yeah, I have a passion for it, but also, like, what am I supposed to do? They just come.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Lucky bastard.
He's just so talented. Wow, it's so hard to be so talented.
I wouldn't know.
Same. Me neither. I'm not what is it, Anna? A something lyricist?
A rapist lyricist?
Thank you.
It's hard to be as cool as me.
I know, it really is. Ooh, boy genius. Oh, this is such good. Ray LaMontagne. Oh,
I love Ray LaMontagne.
Oh my God.
Love him.
I also really love Iron and Wine. I always wanted to see them.
Iron and Wine.
I never got to see them live. It makes me so fucking sad because I love them. Oh, and Bonnie Bear. I love Bonnie Bear. Oh.
Every time I think of Bonnie Bear, I think of my brother. My brother isn't the best at pronouncing things. God love him. Like when he was like, I don't know, 13 or something, he's like, yeah, how did he say it? Like he was trying to say genre, but he said like genre or something. And I was like, oh no. He's like, yeah, I really like this guy. He's like Bon Iver. And I go, oh, well, no, it's pronounced Bon Iver. So many times that he misses things and it's so funny.
So cute.
Like Des Moines, that was him.
Des Moines. Oh my God.
Still to this day. Makes me laugh.
I have an aunt in my family who we still make fun of to this day for saying Detroit.
What?
Instead of Detroit. Yeah, and then I think it was my sister who, you know, in football in the stands, they'll hold up the letter D and a picket fence.
Oh God.
Defense. And my sister was like, what's D picket?
That's so funny.
Girl.
What's D picket?
That is so funny.
That's great. That's
and crazy. Also the brief moment my sister forgot the world was round.
Shut up.
What?
Are you serious?
I forget the exact circumstance, but I do remember there was a moment where she was like, you can't go from there to there. Or something like that. We were like, you do know the world is round. And she's like, for a split second, I forgot that was the thing.
God.
This was years ago. I think she was like in high school. But yeah, so that one does live on. We make fun of her still for that.
Oh my God.
I love when Spotify does those like mixes made specifically for you.
Yes.
The folk mix that I have. Ugh, I'm going to save it.
Send it to me.
So good.
Send it to me.
It'll be different mine. on your I guess it'll be for you. But I imagine it's a lot of the same.
I'm pretty sure it is.
If you just type in folk mix, it'll say made for joy.
Oh, cute.
I love that.
Oh, daughter. And who else is in here? Oh my God. I was obsessed with this band, Angus and Julia Stone.
Yeah.
I love them. And I was just playing it the other day. I came home from work and Benjamin was cooking and I was playing music and I was like, the playlist just got sadder and sadder and sadder. And I was like, I'm just like a little depressed right now. So let me play my sad songs.
Don't mind me.
Don't mind me. And then I remembered, I was like, this band to me specifically is ingrained in my brain. Me rereading the Harry Potter series after I bought all the books at Half Price Books after I finished high school. And I specifically remember having this band on in the background when I was so reading.
Cute. I love those kind of memories. Like you put on an album, it's like, oh, I'm right back there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, it's so cute. Oh, I have one playlist that I can't say on the podcast, but I'll send it to you guys later.
Oh my God. I love music. Music's great.
Oh my God. I was speaking. Sorry. Go on. Go.
It's okay.
Speaking of the first Hunger Games soundtrack.
Yeah, that's a great example. That was also produced by T-Bone Burnett.
Yes. Yeah.
A lot of good stuff on that, for sure.
All right, so we have any other notes about this movie? Or we can just talk about folk music.
Oh, I forgot he also did Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Mm-hmm.
I've still never seen that.
We just talked about that a lot in my D&D group. We were like,
that's cute.
There was some reference that we made, and then we started yelling at the two people that hadn't seen it. We're like, what do you mean?
I think I've seen like parts of it, but not the whole thing. I think it was like on TV or something. So I caught a part, but then I just forgot to go back or something. I don't remember.
Oh, man.
One of my first notes is, why is the judge wearing an eye patch? I thought that was so weird and random.
Because some people have eye patches.
Some people are blind, Crystal.
Okay, might be. So they're singing. So Edward Norton sings This Land Is Your Land. And I sang that song for a sixth grade program. And it was... So we're singing this song, and like at the end... We have to say, this land was made for you and me, and we hold hands, and then we have to lift our hands up at the end of the song. And I was sitting next to this boy, and he was so cute. His name was, well, I'm not going to say his name. Well, he doesn't know. But he does. Whatever, it doesn't matter. So that's okay. Now hold the hand of the person next to you, whatever. And he looks at me, and he goes, this is just for the program, okay?
Oh my
and then he
God.
Grabs my hand, and I was like, whatever, I still win. And my hand, I was like, whatever, I still have your hand in my hand.
Oh my Just God, just grade. Girly things. Just girly things. I was oh like, my God, okay. I love that.
He was so cute. He's actually still cute to this day. Like,
really? Send us a picture.
Yeah. But it's funny because fast forward to high school, he was like, that was so weird. Why was I like that? I'm like, we were little kids. He's like, yeah, that was so tough.
Oh, my God.
Because girls had cooties. Yeah,
boys had cooties. Like, he just looked at me and said, this is only for the program.
I can't. I cannot.
So I heard that song and I was like instantly thrown back to sixth grade, him looking at me like that.
Oh, my God.
So I said, Timmy sounds really great. His SNL, go look at his performances, really good. I think he's actually very talented that, like, maybe not now, but I would love to see him do, like, a one-man show a la Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Oh,
in, like,
yeah.
20 years or something. I think he's that talented. I think he could do it. Yeah. A little song and dance in there. But, yeah, I think he could do that. Let's see. Oh, his nails were so weird and long. I didn't like
it. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That is the only makeup and hair thing that I was like, I'm okay with this. Because I was like, yeah, if he was using his nails to play instead of like a pick or something, they would be disgusting. Yeah. And because he's like just a weirdo person in general, of course he would leave them dirty. He's not going to clean that.
It was accurate, but I didn't like it. Look at it. It was nasty.
Yeah. Same. Every time I saw it, I was like, please just get a Q-tip and just go under your nail, please. Because they're so long. So long.
Yeah.
Ugh.
He's in that club and they recognize him. And so he walks out and a fan grabs his glasses and he like is reactive and her boyfriend like punches him. I'm like, your girl just grabbed his face.
Yeah.
That's rude. Whatever. That was just me being upset about that. This is too long. Boyd Holbrook. I think that's it. Hold on.
Wait.
Oh, so maybe not everybody needs a biopic. That's what I was also thinking too. Like,
yeah,
maybe just like, or if you're gonna do it, make it like a quick 90 minutes.
A tight 90.
Yeah, we don't need it. We don't need a 2+ hour movie. Just maybe not everybody needs it, you know.
Maybe if they do, just do it right. Do the service to the artist, like, you know.
Also, I feel like a biopic truly live or dies by how you feel about that artist, whether you like them or you don't, or you like the music or you don't, or the thing that they do. Because like I could totally see seeing a Bob Dylan fan love this because you're getting to hear the songs. And also I found out that Timmy worked with the same vocal coach as Austin Butler did for Elvis, so that's interesting.
Wow. Okay. Is this just one vocal coach they all just share?
I don't know.
Hollywood doesn't want to pay the vocal coaches.
That'll be my notes.
Crystal, did we go see Mumford and Sons together?
Yes, and we also saw Ray LaMontagne.
We did. But was Mumford and Sons the time that someone walked up to us and we were like, you girls are so pretty. Are you from Hawaii?
Oh, yeah. I'm like, no, but thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. That's so nice of you.
The one time I was tan, I guess they thought that.
Oh, yeah, it was like the end of the summer. We were both very tan.
That was a great show.
That was a great show. Mumford and Sons puts on a great fucking show. Like, man, I was really in my like folk country shit at that time. It was so good. And also,
what's funny is I don't like country, but I like folk.
It's so close.
They're two different things.
It's so close.
I think they are, yeah, but I feel like a lot of times they bleed together.
Some things have overlap, I think. I think there's some songs that could go either way. The Love of My Life, Hozier. Oh my God. Folk.
Yeah.
For folk, fairy, forest, bitch. I love you. I've seen him twice now. Oh my God. Magical fucking experience. The second time it was outside. It was at the beginning of the summer. So like the weather was still nice and like the stars were out. Oh my God. Oh my God. Just fucking beautiful. I love him. And oh my God, he sounded amazing. Ugh.
Good times. I don't doubt that. I believe you.
He's very, very good live. He's very good live. Honestly, even better than the album, I think. Okay, so categories or anyone and last notes? Oh, any last thoughts? Yes? Okay. So best picture. Do we think it should be here?
No. Honestly, no.
I'm going to go straight up no. No, thank you. Thanks, but no thanks. Yeah.
I mean, there's way worse movies, but if we're talking about comparatively to the other ones, no.
Yeah, and also I feel like yes, there is way worse movies, but like they had no place here either. So like we can just.
Yeah.
And I've seen two others that should be here instead, honestly.
Even if the other ones weren't there, mm-hmm. I would still feel like this shouldn't be there.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. It's very blah. Okay. Best Director, it's up against Sean Baker for Anora, Bradley Corbet for The Brutalist, that guy for that one movie, and Coraline Farché for The Substance. Why is he here?
No.
No!
Yeah, I don't agree.
You're telling me no Denis Villeneuve, but this man isn't here. How?
Like, and I don't... James Mangold is fine. I've liked things, other things he's done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Logan.
This, right? But yeah. this ain't it. Sorry, James. Like, no.
Yeah, after the movie was over, I looked him up and I was like, looking at the other stuff he's done, and I was like, I mean, there's other stuff that he's done that I found interesting, but not Oscar interesting. Not this interesting.
I think it goes back to what you said. Like, if it was a different year, a non-less competitive year, it would have probably done. All these nominations for this movie make sense in a year that's not this one.
Right. Like, there's plenty of other people who could have been on here in this category. And, you know, the rest we'll go over in a minute. Best Actor. Timothy is up against Adrian Brody for The Brutalist, Coleman Domingo for Sing Sing, Ralph Fiennes for Conclave, Sebastian Stan for The Apprentice. Personally, I'm going to go with a no.
I'm okay with him here. It's not my favorite of his performances. I still think he did a great job. He's not my pick, though.
Yeah. I pretty much anything Anna just said, I can wholly agree. You know how they feel about biopics? They got to put one in here and it's a real person. Blah,
if they blah, blah, don't blah. Have one, they die. Like, the Oscars are over.
Honestly, I love Ralph Fiennes. I think Adrian Brody was really good. But I just saw Sing Sing and Coleman Domingo should be winning this award. Like, are you joking me?
Get on this fucking train. Like, yes.
I think if you don't like Sing Sing, it's because you haven't seen it yet. Truly.
Yes.
Like, what? Like,
thank God one of you.
I'm gonna sing. Okay. I should be in Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor. It should be in Best Cinematography, actually. It should be in Best Score. Like,
Best everything.
So flabbergasted how it's not.
And I really want you to watch it. I feel like you will super appreciate it.
I want to. It's on my list.
I watched it last night because I was like, ooh, it's available to rent. And I was like, oh, it's not that long. Okay, great. I'll put it on while I'm eating. And I was like, this is not how
And you know what? Okay, so Sing Sing, it's a treasure. I fucking love it. Everybody go watch it. But I feel like if you were going to nominate Timothy Chalamet this year, it should have been for Dune 2, not this shit.
Well, there it is.
Because no one could just make me say, Lisa Dunkey for nothing.
I was ready to follow him with the worm. Like, I was ready. When he said that, I was like, all right.
I guess I'll get on the worm. I guess I'll follow this, you know, weird religion. Sure, why not?
He almost got us back in Church Joy. That's how good he was.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And same thing for Ralph Fiennes. Ralph Fiennes almost got me to go back to church. Ew.
Yeah. it makes me sad that Coleman's not going to win this award because I thought he was phenomenal. And, girl, I mean, he's been turning out performance after performance. Like, last year with Rustin, the movie was whatever, but he was good in it. This is, like 10. Oh, my God. Like, I can't even believe it. I can't even believe it.
There's one shot in that movie that really stays with me. And just his just this.
I feel like I have to see Sebastian Stan and The Apprentice now just so I can finish the category. But right now it's Coleman Domingo. And I'm so upset that he's not going to win because he's not in contention really.
Which is so stupid. He really should be.
Like, Adrian Brody, sorry. You were great, but step aside.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Anyways, this should have been Dune 2. And that's that. Best supporting actor. Edward Norton is up against Yura Borisov for Anora, Kieran Culkin, A Real Pain, Guy Pearce, The Brutalist, Jeremy Strong, The Apprentice. I'm gonna go with a no.
Yeah, I don't think he should be here.
No disrespect to Edward Norton, but it just wasn't it.
Right, like, he's great. Again, no disrespect to Timmy. Timmy's great, but this is just not the role. This is just not the performance.
Yeah.
Clarence Macklin, this should be his fucking Oscar.
Girl, okay. What the okay. 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 The criticism I heard about that movie, someone said like the amateurness of the acting bothered them, but I don't know what they're talking about because it wasn't amateur.
It was not.
How do you... I'm so upset.
We can do a spoilery talk about this later. But yeah, this category is interesting because I feel like easily one, two, that I would easily take out of here, but Clarence Macklin and Ellen Pearson. It's just easy, simple. Okay, best supporting actress. Monica Barbaro is up against what was I about to call her? Adrian Brody? Ariana Grande? For Wicked, Felicity Jones, The Brutalist, Isabella Rossellini for Conclave, and Zoe Saldana for that movie.
No, sorry.
I'm okay with her being here.
Really?
I think
I'm also okay with it.
I think her and Timmy were the strongest performances. I really appreciated her performance. She's not my pick. I think there's others that should be in this category that aren't.
Like who else?
Definitely Margaret Qualley.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I think... I'm not sure what category they would want themselves in, but Jack, whose last name I'm forgetting from I Saw the TV Glow, I think would be a great put in here. Mm-hmm. I know there's someone else on the tip of my tongue and I'm forgetting who it is.
Yeah, I feel like there's somebody else that I'm not thinking of. Oh, there's somebody else, but I'll wait till the next episode.
Okay. Yeah, I think I mean, she fills the slot, really. And she wasn't a bad performance, but I just think it wasn't enough. And that's not her fault. That is the script's fault. I guess it's similar to Felicity Jones in the sense that what she was given, she did a good job in.
Right, right.
So her being there doesn't feel, like, wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it should be switched out with something else. Or someone else, rather.
Who else would you switch?
Not anybody. Just
okay. Okay, so best adapted screenplay is up against Conclave, that one movie, Nickel Boys, and Sing Sing. Absolutely not.
No. No. The weakest part was the script to me. So
yeah.
Why?
100%.
Hello? Yep.
It should be Dune Part 2 here, but whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And then, where's this? Sorry, one moment. Oh, best costume design is up against Conclave, Gladiator 2, Nosferatu, and Wicked. Why?
Girl, it should be Dune Part 2 in here. Are you joking?
Oh my God. It honestly,
I saw this movie very, or like the week, noms were announced.
Oh.
Because I was excited for Bob Dylan and I was excited for Timothy Chalamet. So I just went and saw it like that first Tuesday or whatever. And the first thing out of my mouth, because we had just talked about Dune.
Mm-hmm.
As I walked out, I was going, costumes? I felt like Captain Holt boned costumes. Because it doesn't make sense to me. I mean, they're good costumes. I liked what I saw, but I don't think it was anything extravagant.
Cosine. No. Yeah, agree.
It was period, but it wasn't like a super hard period.
Right. I mean, they did look dusty and dingy and a little vintage and worn out, but like...
It was like a light flow.
Yeah,
I'll see myself out. Goodbye.
Oh man. Best what? Oh, I'm sorry. Best sound. It's up against Dune Part 2, that one movie, Wicked and the Wild Robot.
I guess for the concerts, sure.
But even then, I felt like they could have sounded better.
Yeah.
The ones that the scenes that sounded good were the ones like the acoustic ones. So the one where Joan Baez, her first scene, their duets that they do. The acoustic one sounded good, but like, I don't know. It just wasn't. I mean, we've seen plenty of movies with like good sound of concerts. We've seen plenty of movies with good sound of like live performances. We've been to concerts and we've had good sound in our ears. So like, I don't know. I feel like it could have done better than that.
I guess whatever, because we're still kind of ignorant to sound category in general, I feel. But, well, maybe not ignorant is the wrong word, but we could learn more.
Yeah.
But I feel like I don't know what I replace it with either. So I'm just going to say.
The substance.
Oh, duh. That's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Then, yeah.
At least then I felt an emotion, even if it was disgust.
I won't say it's definitely not my first pick to be pulled out of this category.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, obviously. If the other film was not here and The Substance was nominated, I would be fine with it being here.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because like you said, it did have some very, like the audio was crisp during the concerts. Yeah. I'm not mad about the sound. I'm mad that it's nominated when The Substance is not.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yep. You are correct.
That's my hang up.
And you are
correct. Are right. Yeah.
Sorry, I have correct opinions and great tits.
Yes, bitch.
Well, never mind.
What?
Nothing.
Oh my God.
Oh my Continue. God.
Oh my God. Okay, so that is all
like
these
mediocre tits.
They're great. Shut up. does anyone have their categories ready? Someone want to do whatever shit the thing.
I'll go first.
Thank you.
And number 8, I have the one film with the one name. I guess technically two names.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those, fuck that film. Number 7 is A Complete Unknown. Number 6 is Anora. 5 is Wicked. 4 is The Brutalist. 3 is The Substance. 2 is Dune Part 2. And 1 is Conclave.
Okay. I'll go next. Number 8 is a movie. Number 7 is The Substance. Number 6, this is where I have A Complete Unknown. And it's only... Substance only below it, only because it's Needles. And actually watched all of A Complete Unknown. I wasn't sure. Number 5 is Wicked. Number 4 is Anora. Number 3 is The Brutalist. 2 is Conclave. And 1 is Dune Part 2. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I should change it already. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sitting here looking at it and I want to change it. So,
that's my book. So I'm like, I said it out loud. It's in the on recording and I'm done with it. Because otherwise, I'll sit here and like change it in my head 30 times.
Okay. I can't believe we're at 8 already. That's nuts. Okay. So, at the bottom is the obvious one. Number 7 is Complete Unknown. 6 is Anora. 5, Wicked. 4, The Substance. 3, Conclave. 2, The Brutalist has grown on me. And 1 is Dune.
Wow. I think we all have Wicked at 5, don't we?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's very interesting.
Well, I've just been sitting with, since I had to put together the Instagram for The Brutalist, I've been sitting with the images and it's just visually, regardless of, it had good scenes, it had issues, but visually, man, that camera work, that cinematographer.
That's interesting because you were like, I feel like you were the most passionate about, like, I feel disrespected. Like,
I do feel disrespected by that movie, but my eyes feel respected.
Okay.
And what is film if not a visual medium? So the visuals worked. Regardless of if the story was a mess or not. And people are messy. I've just been staring at the shots for like 2 days. And today I feel like this. Tomorrow I'll probably change my mind. Next week.
Just rewatch the epilogue and you'll be like, oh, I forgot I'm
God. Yeah, that's okay. Never mind. All right. Let me move it down. Fucking epilogue. Just shut up. You should just end it. Ugh. Editors. Okay. Well, I think that's it. This is probably our shortest episode of this season. If you want to recommend to us your favorite Bob Dylan song, let us know. Because I clearly know nothing of this. So tell me about it. Educate me. Now my two friends will educate me because I know nothing about this. Listen to us more. Follow us on Instagram. We're on Threads. We're on Twitter. I think we have a Facebook too. I can't get in there. I think it automatically made one when we made an Instagram.
I'm not on that app at all, so I don't know.
I've never been on it, but it's there, supposedly. Yeah, and we'll be back in a
couple
days. What if
we're really big on Facebook?
I doubt it.
And that's why we have listeners all around the world because of Facebook. Can you imagine?
Respectfully, I don't really care. I don't really want the Facebook fans. Okay.
Sorry. Dang. You just insulted half of our fan group.
So one person?
Oh my God. Shout out to Fried Papita. Cabrona, because they're no longer on Twitter, I believe. But they reposted our Instagram stories because they're so cool. They're our number one fan. Shout out to you. You're the best.
We don't deserve you.
Oh my God. And you know what I found as I was unpacking stuff to decorate my room? My Cabronas and Chingonas little sticker.
Little? That sucker's huge.
Little? What are you talking about? It's like this big.
No, I have another one. I have little ones too.
Oh.
That I got. I don't remember when. I got little ones too.
All I have is a huge one that's like the size of my face.
The like burger size. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.